Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all shapes and size, welcome to Getting Franchised. I'm the man who did this introduction. My name is Joe. With me, as always for this show, is the one, the only, Chuck. But we're not alone today.
No, we are not.
We have.
You know you guys are never alone if you're both here, right?
Always alone together.
There you go.
Sounds
there
hot.
Yep. With us today for this episode of Getting Franchised is Ron. Ronald, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. I feel like I was specifically targeted for this episode because of what happens in the second movie right off the bat, and I appreciate you guys for that, so thank you.
I mean,
yeah, kind of, yeah. Not to toot our my own horn or anything, but I figured if there was one that we could get Ron to come on, it was going to be the one that had...
I did not come, thank you very much.
Wow, you edged yourself this entire movie. Good job, buddy.
Oh, oh yeah.
Well, you know, as they say, when the screams echo and the hand in your mind, I've picked you, My Bloody Valentine. We watch My Bloody Valentine today. We watch both. We watch the original 1981.
1981 Canadian movie. I mean, it was very obvious.
That's why there weren't boobs in it. It makes sense now.
Yeah. Yep. 1981 Canadian movie, and then the 2009 American remake.
Correct. So
which was apparently riding on the high of Jensen Ackles being in Supernatural.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, there's a lot about that movie that it was riding on to be successful, and we'll get into that.
Yes.
There are a couple things out of... Oh.
Yeah, mainly Ron specifically got excited about at least three things I can think of. When you put it all together, maybe four. But My Bloody Valentine, 1981, of course, it's set in a small mining town of Valentine Bluffs. The story centers around a group of young adults who throw a Valentine's Day party despite a tragic mining accident that occurred 20 years earlier. The town's legend of a vengeful miner, Harry Warden, who killed several people after the accident, resurfaces as a mass killer and begins to murder partygoers one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So the reviews for this movie from critics were kind of all over the place. It received a lot of mixed reviews and it got shit on a lot. Because the plot really kind of sucked, they thought, and that it was too violent at the time.
For 1981. So
is this Canadian too violent, or?
Probably, that too.
I was like, because American, we already had, what, three Friday the 13th before this or something?
No, we had one Friday the 13th, one Halloween. Because the second one came out that same year. Second Friday the 13th came out the same year. Mm. There wasn't a ton of... Because I actually had to look it up. There wasn't a ton of horror, really violent and bloody horror movies. And even with Friday the 13th, as violent as they were, everything was practical and nothing is really, egregious. Nothing is really just, over the top like they are by today's standards. Well, you know, no one's slashing the gut open and then just pulling all of the intestines out just for shits and giggles.
But who knows, because the film was initially heavily censored in the United States due to the graphic violence,
leading to
various cuts in its theatrical release. It forced backlash from critics who viewed it as just a typical slasher film, but it also sparked discussion about horror film censorship, which I thought was kind of interesting because... This would have been right around that time where horror was just trying to be as gross as possible to get people to go to it. You know, this is kind of the end era of that grindhouse, you send it around and it goes on tour kind of vibe in 81. Also, weirdly enough, this is Quentin Tarantino has gone on record saying this is his favorite slasher film series.
I didn't see any feet in it, though.
That's not true. There is a foot. There's a foot in it. Because the part where they reference the fact that they find Harry Warden in the accident, like after the accident, because he immediately has become a cannibal and is gnawing on a foot.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part.
Yeah, in the most ridiculous eating corn the long way style of eating a foot I've ever seen, he is gnawing on that shit for unexplicable reasons.
Yeah.
He was down there for like 5 days, man.
He was also, like, there was a methane explosion. Like, yeah. He wouldn't have been down there. He's been dead. All of them would have
been dead. And he looked absolutely, I mean, he looked crazy, kind of. I'm not really sure what was going on with his face. But it was, so this initial movie has a lot of cult following. A lot of people really love it. And I went into it being like, okay, so I know this isn't going to be good. Right? Like, it's 1981. The plot is going to be super simple because they didn't have to try.
Yes.
They were really relying on it being a slasher. The acting is going to be atrocious because they had a bunch of nobodies that I didn't recognize.
The only person that, and I had to look this up because I started, because I recognized the sheriff, and I'm like, why does that guy look so familiar? Looked up his IMDb, didn't recognize anything he was in live action. But he did some voice work for some animated stuff in the 90s, notably X-Men. He was Sabretooth in the X-Men animated show. Yeah.
Which would make sense being Canadian and all.
Yep.
That, and Wolverine's brother. Reference to the
same thing. Yep.
Yeah. We haven't got, I mean, at time of release of this episode, maybe we will be to like X-Men Wolverine Origins, but.
Depends on we around this time we might be getting back into the Marvel DC stuff. I think I still have a couple more movies, a handful, once we get into the 2000s. So it might be a minute.
Yeah, so we're still in the 90s in the movies, so we've got some time
right now. But at the time of this comes out, the time this episode releases, we should be on the tail end of the 90s.
Oh, I don't know how these ones release, so. Well, I've only heard one of them, so I mean
they're releasing later than they should be, than when they originally planned.
Yes, originally we watched this in February. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this movie came out in February, maybe March, but no.
You would think no. We're going to do it on our schedule, not the viewer's schedule. That's insane. Why would we do that? But honestly, much like this movie, it doesn't matter when it comes out. So there is a common trope around holiday movies, unless it's specifically Christmas, that I don't care for, which is they build it around a holiday, but the holiday lifts right up out. Like, there's no this. You could have done this as like a graduation party instead of Valentine's Day. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that it's Valentine's Day is kind of just a MacGuffin for this movie.
It's the plot device of, oh, hey, I'm going to rip out this person's heart, put it in a heart box because it's Valentine's Day. Yeah, you could put that in any sort of box. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't.
And there are more important things you can put in a box and give as a present that are liked way more.
That's in 2009.
I was going to say. In 2009, they'd be putting a lot of boxes out there for sure. Uh-huh. So overall, I didn't get it. I didn't get this. I didn't get the original. I don't think it made. I mean, it was fine. The other thing is, like, the big reveal at the end is that it's this guy who saw Harry Warden kill his dad.
Yeah. Axel, who was.
Well, both TJ and Axel are like the antagonist protagonist of like falling in love with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of them should ever have a girlfriend, ever, because they are both terrible people.
Absolutely atrocious human beings, and, like, this is the most 80s love story I've ever seen.
The other thing is him killing off... So Harry Warden killing off the dad, and the whole point is that Harry was part of that group that got trapped in the mines. The dad and somebody else were the foremen who were watching over, who didn't like bleed the line or didn't make sure the line was safe before they left to go to this party. So Harry coming back after a year and killing the dad and the other guy makes total sense. This guy going on some sort of rampage of like, oh, because you, this Valentine's party, it ruined my dad. It's freaking Jason all over again. That's all it is. It's Jason from Friday the 13th saying, you kids weren't paying attention to me as I drowned because you were fucking and doing blow and all this. So I'm going to kill you because you're fucking and doing blow now. Like, no, like these people hadn't, I understand your process of, yes, these adults in the situation should be looking out and paying attention to what's going on, but they weren't, so they should be punished. But these certain ones didn't do anything. On the flip side of that, these kids are being warned constantly about the legend of Harry Warden, and they're joking about it. They're not taking it seriously at all. Fine, but why does Axel, who has now maybe gone crazy because TJ is back and now he's starting to kill people, but he technically killed somebody in the very beginning before TJ even showed up? No. Yes.
Yeah.
No, TJ was already there.
No, I don't think he was back yet, was he?
I think he might have been. Because he was working.
Oh, that's right.
The
very
next scene is all of them leaving him in the mines as a joke or whatever. Regardless, him going mental and starting to kill people makes, especially the first girl in the mines, makes no sense.
Right? She didn't even get her bra off before he killed her.
Well, not even that, but the fact of,
Joe,
like,
that is an important point here, Joe.
For Ronald, yeah.
But look, no, like, I was watching an 80s slasher flick and did not get to see any tits. So was it really a slasher flick?
It's a fair... You know what? He does... Okay, we will officially add that. We'll call that the Ron Continuum for your franchise. Is it classified as an 80s slasher if we don't see boob?
That's fair.
I, you know, I believe in this.
But like him, Axel going after Mabel, going after the sheriff and the mayor for...
Well, here's the thing. Like, I can understand him going after the older people if you really wanted to go with the mental illness thing, because those were the people that were having this party when his dad got killed, right?
Yes.
So yes. Those people would make sense. Like, Mabel. If he would have killed the sheriff, if he would have killed, like, the old dude in the bar, sure. I mean, he did kill the old dude in the bar, but
yeah, he did kill Mabel. But it's the fact of, like, especially the old dude in the bar. He's telling the legend. Him setting up the one outfit with the pickaxe
on a string string. Yeah,
the third time he opened the door, the pickaxe didn't go up. I would have been like, wait a minute, but no, he walks away. He's like, I gotta do it one more time.
See, that's what I don't get. Like, after I saw it work the first two times, I'd have been like, all right, it's set, and then I would have left.
Right. But no, he's got to go back, and then he gets killed. No, but basically, what I was trying to get at is the old... I agree with you. The older crowd getting killed off because they're planning this Valentine's dance. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he goes after his own friends because of mental illness, maybe? Again, that I just
maybe he just wasn't actually their friend. Like, maybe he was, you know, the outsider because he was like the floor boss or whatever, right?
Something like that.
Yes,
like the supervisor or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know.
It was interesting because, like, so if we're gonna pull it from like a Friday the 13th situation, I always viewed it as. And maybe this is just me in hindsight all these years of justification of why Jason still existed. But in the beginning, the idea to me was always these people were bad and they let Jason drown and die. And therefore is like a hero, like, you know, a villain is always thinks that they're doing a good thing. So it's like, I'm going to kill anybody who tries to reopen so this can never happen again. That's how I've always viewed Friday the 13th, right? Is that like Jason is actually trying to preserve it from never happening to somebody else.
Okay.
Sure. How did Jason become an adult?
Timey-wimey. Don't worry about it.
Listen, there's a talisman involved. It's like a whole fucking thing, all right?
It's weird. I believe it, because it wasn't the year prior. It had been a couple years when Jason drowned in the lake to the point where Mrs. Voorhees started killing. So by the time the second movie comes around, it'd been like 15 years, maybe 20 years. After, I know that movie's on our list, so we'll get to them and get to that lore again later.
I can't wait to hear it.
Part two, yes, Friday the 13th Part Two and the remake. But like, so yeah, I agree with you that, like, I guess my only theory is that the justification for Harry Warden killing people is like, look, I became this cannibal murder machine. And I need, and instead of shutting down the mine, which is actually what the story should have been, which is what we, opposite of actually what we see in the 2009 edit, but like the idea of like, instead of it being like, no more Valentine's Day stuff because that's what killed me, it's, hey, how about we make it safer? Why don't we get like OSHA down here and actually like, you know, what if he just became a union guy? What if Harry Warden just becomes a union rep?
All right, hold on.
Yeah, we're gonna need a shirt.
Ooh, I love it. I don't know. Like, I honestly didn't hate this movie. And my first initial watch, I'm like, because this is the first time I've seen this one. I've seen the 2009. I saw that one in theaters, but this is the first time I've watched the original. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, so timeline wise, this came out in 81. They're saying 20 years ago, Harry Warden killed a couple people. And then a year prior to that would have been when, so 1960 would have been when the mine collapsed and everything happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, all right, these kids are probably 21. Like, they're sitting there drinking. Like, they're 21 years old, maybe 22. Like, in theory, because there's no internet to get lost in information, the mine collapse and then Harry Warden coming back and killing would have been news for a while, at least until they were like maybe 5-10 years old. So So in theory, they should have been knowing this growing up. They should have heard this, and they would not have been looking at this as a legend. Rewind all that. Because I realized there, once I figured out that they're actually in Canada, you can drink at 18. So,
yeah,
that. But you have to, go ahead.
But you have to remember that Axel saw his dad die, and Axel was at least what, four?
Four, maybe five, probably 3 to 5. So already he knows Harry Warden's around, which backtracks to these kids being around the same age, roughly.
Unless he's a dirty pedophile and everybody else was a lot younger than him. Like, that's, they were like 17, 18, and he was like 27, 30, you know, and he's just like, you know what I love about these high school chicks?
They all stay the same age, yep.
I mean, yeah, you're trying to put logic into an illogical movie. That doesn't make
correct. Like, no, and yeah. It's one of those things that, like, really bugged me as I was watching it, and then once I realized, wait, you have this thing, you have this thing, you have this thing. It's like, okay, so the legend would make sense, except
but it wouldn't have been a legend.
That's what I'm saying. Except for that factor there, it's just it's not good. I still
now
have a decent time with it though.
If Harry Warden would have been like 50 years ago, and then a repeat would have happened 20 years ago. And then that's why Axel became the way he was. That would have made sense.
Yeah, but the whole point is that the town thinks it's Harry Warden because he disappeared.
He's still possibly alive, yeah.
Yeah. Knowing full well that actually, like, the sheriff and a couple other people actually went and killed him and kept the secret.
No, that's the next movie.
No, that's this one, too. No. This one, he died in incarceration. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it doesn't... I think, like... If to wrap up this version of it is like, they obviously were banking on the reveal being something crazy, and probably for 1981 that was actually like a, oh my god, we haven't seen that yet. Watching it in the lens of 2025, I was just like, oh, It is that. Okay. Like that's well, it. That's the what? Big reveal.
That and also having the knowledge of 2009, correct. That version in my head watching, I'm like, okay, so it's one of these two.
Yeah.
It's plain and simple. It's one of these two.
I mean, to be fair, in the 2009 version, they were also like not trying very hard to hide that it's one of those.
Yeah. No shit.
So then I forced these two to then watch the My Bloody Valentine from 2009, which this remake follows a similar premise, but adds a modern twist. 10 years after a mining accident, a small town is once again terrorized by a killer in the miner's mask on Valentine's Day. The film features a more elaborate backstory and character development while retaining the slasher elements of the original. Of course, the review said that it was a little bit better than the original because of the updated effects and 3D presentation. This was the first 3D movie I had ever seen, like real 3D.
Yes. This is
outside of any, because the real 3D actually got started at like theme parks at Disney and like MGM and all that stuff.
Yes.
Right. So when I was in third grade, I saw that. After that, this was the first real 3D movie I had ever seen. And at the time, this blew my mind. This was insane to me. Like watching this and like having the pickaxe literally feeling like it was inches away from my face.
Multiple times.
The full frontal 3D nudity was that went on.
See, I'm a little sad I didn't get to see that in 3D. Oh.
A shockingly long time, the full frontal nudity happens.
Yeah.
She had no reason to run out of the room with the gun. Like, she could have put a robe on or something.
If she would have put a robe on, she wouldn't have made it to him before he got in the truck.
I doubt it.
Look. I am not going to complain about it because I appreciated it. It made that movie, you know, that much better.
The other thing is, you said that it was reviewed better, Chuck. But looking on IMDb, the first one had shocking just a few more reviews, like a better score review wise than the new one, which I thought was interesting. Considering I agree with you, this one actually had plot. This one actually had character development. I like that it's only not just because it's 10 years away, but the town, you know, Sarah in this one was talking to Tom and is like basically saying, yeah, no, we had to live with this tragedy. Like, we can't hide from it. We can't run away from it like you did. Like, so they're living with it on a daily basis and they can't, they're not, the town isn't hiding it like the first one did. So yeah, that's, you know, good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like super, like, I think it was a much, I mean, they had time to actually like flush it out and they needed to. You couldn't do a shot for, like, you could not do the same script and have it even, like, it would have been laughed out of the building. It wouldn't have been signed on. There was definitely like some flushing out that needed to happen. And I think that they did a decent job trying to make it make sense of like, why he leaves and then he comes back, and the fact that, you know, they try to pull a red herring that he's like, it's really Axel because Axel is a piece of shit just like he is in the other one. Once again, like Ron had stated before, both these men in the 2009 should never be allowed to talk to women,
100% talk
to a woman in any conceivable way. All awful. My biggest takeaway from this is rewatching it not in 3D. This movie sucked. Like,
I had to explain to Simon because, like, of all of, like, all the things where he's like, you know, like prodding towards the camera, like when she's in the like behind the bed thing, and like he keeps swinging at her, and I'm like, listen, you got to understand that it was in 3D when it originally released. So like this would have been, you know, like everybody in the theater like, whoa,
not so much. But yes, but not so much.
I mean, I was fucking petrified at the time, but like at times I had to take my glasses off because it was like too much for me. But I
agree. I definitely did that.
Yeah, because like it is a lot. But also, it's even like the, so it's little things like that, right? Like we see the we see like the right off the, now I remember the eyeball in the very beginning going flying over my head, not just like sticking into my, like right in front of the face. But yeah, it, in a 2D setting, a lot of it looks ridiculous. Like when he has the axe and he's like pointing it and like that, and it's just like, I remember the, this like being
the gun, it was like the gun being like, yeah, all here,
the
gun
down the thing, all these like super wide shots so they could set up the 3D feel.
Yeah.
Does not, it looks like a set. Like it doesn't look like they're shooting on location. It looks like they built a movie set. And it's so weird.
Well, and the bad thing is they made this movie specifically for 3D. Yes. So you needed to have seen it in theaters to really experience that 3D element. Because even with the technology today at home, TVs can't do 3D very well without the effects. Nothing. I've got a few different movies, or I've seen a few different movies recently with the 3D. That they've couched as 3D, and it is not, it's not great. So like, it just doesn't translate well. And until we can get that, like, I'm sure if they finally get like 3D technology for your 4K TV or 8K TV or whatever the new version is that's going to be coming out, a movie like this will probably do a little bit better in the home release. But until then, we're stuck with the really bad 2D graphics for a 3D movie.
Yeah, I remember the 3D TVs coming out and people being like, it's not the same. It's not the same as like being in the theaters, and like you had to have like really special settings and stuff like that.
Yeah. I also don't want to watch a movie. I want to sit down and enjoy the movie. I don't have to sit there with glasses on the entire time.
No shit. I don't like,
for 2 hours, I don't even like, that probably has like 15 minutes worth of special effects.
I don't even like going into 3D movies because I don't like the glasses give me a headache when I'm in there watching them.
Yeah. I stopped going through 3D movies. I purposely do not do IMAX 3D or just 3D in general. Like I'm fine with just regular 2D.
My local theater had used to be half. They had 9 theaters, I think, total. And at least 4, if not 5 of them would be 3D movies when it first came out. And now there's one 3D movie theater, and half the time they don't show 3D movies in it because nobody goes to them anymore.
Yeah, we've got an IMAX here, which shows 3D from time to time. And then I know Regal and AMC both do 3D at times, but I don't know. I never go see. I think
it might I don't be remember. I say I don't remember the last time they had a 3D movie.
They do, but newer releases will have it for like 2 weeks, and then drop down the standard. But
I also feel like
the making a movie and then converting it to 3D versus this one, which is specifically made for 3D.
Yeah,
right. Converting it to regular.
And I feel like that is a boomer thing, because that was like a big thing for them in like the 70s and 80s when you had the blue and red glasses that you had to wear. 80s.
I mean, but it's cyclical. Like 80s had a big boom, because I've got one of the Friday 13th. I think it's the third one. Friday 13th 3D. Yeah, that's 3D. Early 80s. This was 81, and I feel like in the mid-80s, they had a lot more. The 2009, like, that's when the resurgence happened again, because IMAX was on the rise, and IMAX 3D was a huge push. Thank you, James Cameron, with Avatar, I guess. I don't know.
That was, like, I think maybe that or the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol was, like, the last 3D movie I went and saw, because after a while, I was like, this is fucking expensive, and it's not really adding much to the movie anymore.
Right. Yeah. My thing was, I can't remember what movie it was, but like 15 minutes into the movie, I was watching it, and I'm like, I don't see any difference anymore. Like the 3D element, either they don't, there's only specific moments of 3D, which fine, but like, don't call your movie a 3D movie and then only have, like I said, a 2-hour movie with 15 minutes of special effects.
Yeah,
that's a waste of money on my part.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one. How did you feel about the your supernatural homie being in this movie as the lead?
So, I mean, that's the whole reason, I'll be honest, because at this time, this was like peak Supernatural. I think it's like season 4 or 5 of Supernatural. And
I think it's season 4, yeah.
Yeah, like, I went and saw this because of Jensen Ackles. I went and saw the new Friday 13th because of Jared Padalecki. Like, I was really big on Supernatural at the time. So I'm like, oh, this would be kind of fun. I'm interested to see what his career can do. And I watch this and I'm like, no, now with my eyes now, I can't see anyone else but Dean. Like, he's Dean Winchester. And yeah. So him being, all I see is his acting prowess as Dean Winchester here in playing Tom Hanniger.
That was one of my beefs in this. I was like, when did Dean become such a pussy?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah. But like, all in all though, he didn't do a terrible job. Like, his acting is still good, but I just can't separate his most known character with
that's other... because Dean is him. Like,
exactly. It really is anymore. So yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, like, this came out in 2009, and I can't really think of anything outside of this that I would know him from.
Like, he was in Smallville for, like, a couple episodes.
One season.
Yeah, and I probably stopped watching Smallville when that happened. But, like, so, like, I always think of this as, like, this was his trying to make his break into something else that wasn't Supernatural. And I get that way with his brother on the show. When he went and did House of Wax, the 2005 remake of House of Wax.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, that was supposed to be his big breakout from Supernatural, and that also bombed.
At least Jensen Ackles got the boys, I mean.
Yeah, Jensen went to do the boys. He's in there for that's true. A couple seasons. Jared did Walker. You know, he did the Walker Texas Ranger remake series. I mean, that's...
I don't remember that at all. Okay.
Yeah, that went on for like
wait, like he plays Chuck Norris?
He that character, yes.
Oh shit, yeah. That's funny.
Hold on, let me see real quick.
Does he do a lot of roundhouse kicks?
I don't know. I don't watch the show. Seasons, 2004 seasons, 2021 to 2024. 4 seasons of that show. So like,
wow, recent too. Holy shit.
Oh, well, and then a movie. Walker Independence. I don't know. But yeah, so, oh, he's also going to be in the new season of The Boys, so that'll be kind of fun. It's basically just a, you know, let's bring back all the super, because it's Eric Kripke writing The Boys, so he's like, let's bring back all the Supernatural guys, because I can. And he does. It's great. Yeah, no, the 2009, that's the first one I watched. I enjoyed it when I did watch it in theaters. I enjoyed it this time again. It's like I said before, it's got a better story. It's got a cohesive story.
Full frontal nudity.
A lot more action. Yes, full frontal nudity. I'll be honest, I forgot that because it's been
20
years since I've seen
it. I forgot about it as well. I knew that there was nudity, but a sex scene, but I didn't remember where.
Uh-huh.
And then I forgot how long the full frontal nudity was. So she's like going to town on that dude while I'm on the treadmill and there are people next to me. Like legitimately they're like, it was full. And usually everyone's really cool. You know, we have like urinal rules where you just like every other machine, if you can help it. But it was packed in there. So like it was a full line of treadmills and I'm just like, oh shit, okay. So I'm trying to like big Chuck plus 10 through the sex scenes, and it's just her now walking around full like fucking beeve and tits out, and I'm just like, all right, I gotta watch this later because obviously this is not appropriate for the gym. I've already been yelled at about this once already.
So. Really?
Oh, yeah. Shit. What fucking movie did we watch where there was boobs for Comic Rundown?
There's a lot.
Yeah, it was fairly recent though. Oh. It was just like random boob shots.
Time like, Cop has a couple sets in there.
That was a while. Yeah, it was before that.
Oh,
it was a couple months ago. I don't remember. But yeah, not my favorite. But I liked the remake better. My score will reflect. So let's.
Oh shit! We were supposed to score these.
Yes, we score them. Sorry.
Yeah, you score them. Let's, of course, go through the rundowns. We'll do scores. Joey, scale of 1 to 10, as per usual. What do you give the first one? What do you give the second one?
Yeah, so the first one, after I realized that they're in Canada, that they can actually drink because they're over 18.
Well, when did it switch over that we could drink it when the age went from 18 to 21 here?
70s?
When the 21st Amendment came out.
Oh.
So, back in the 30s?
No.
Hold on. Yeah.
I'll get the research team.
Okay, you go look at that one. But given the fact that Axel was a young boy when Harry Warden killed his dad, he knows that Harry Warden is now a legend, which should have been, I mean, we don't get that revealed to the end, but like he should have been the one trying to be like, oh no, Harry Warden actually isn't. If he had said that at any point during the movie that Harry Warden isn't a legend, then that might have gave the movie a little bit more credibility. But because of that, because he didn't, it hurts it a little bit. I would say, like, seeing it for the first time, it wasn't terrible. Seeing it for the first time, having the knowledge of the remake in my head, it kind of, I don't say, you know, gave a lot away because I was expecting something, but it kind of did. So, I don't know, I'd give it, let's see here. Out of 10, I don't think I'm ever going to watch this one again. So it was, but it was enjoyable. So I'm going to say like a 4.07.
Okay.
I don't know.
And for the 2009?
2009 one, I liked a little bit better. I have watched this, and I'm going to say watched, because I needed something to watch at work, and I was like, oh, I'll just put this on. Why
and he's not? Like, what about full frontal nudity? Just right there at work.
I didn't realize that. And I must have, even after, not seen that. Like, that scene must have been playing, and I just wasn't paying attention. Because I watched it in theaters, and I've watched it one more time since then. And I say watched. It was playing while I was, like, actually working. So, but I did like this one a little bit better. Will I watch this again in the future? Not the near future, but I would watch this again. So with that being said, I'd probably give this like a 5.63.
Okay. One sec. Ronald?
So the first one, the premise of it was ridiculous. There are certain things that happen, like when the sheriff is in the laundromat, right? And there's a body thumping inside of a washer covered in dryer covered in blood right beside him. But he notices the hearts upside down on the walls before he notices the dead body inside the washer.
Sure. Also, I do want to give props because the Axel, was we find out he's a killer. He actually took the time to, because there were two dryers going, so he took the time to, you know, take the wash out of the one and put it in the dryer. You know, he's a really good, really conscious.
He was just trying to make sure that the people, that the people that weren't responsible, you know, still got their clothes dried.
There's that, or the fact that these dryers don't actually have a time limit, and they just go
for, like, 24 hours?
Yeah. Anyway.
But, like, stuff like that was just ridiculous. Will I ever watch this movie again? No. Did I enjoy watching it? Kind of. There were some fun parts, and we're going to get a new shirt out of it, so that's also a plus.
That's true.
But I gave it a 4.31 because, again, it wasn't a horrible movie. There were some bad parts to it, but they also had some pretty decent, like, scenes and, like, the dude getting his face boiled to death in the dog water was hilarious.
Yeah. And then they pulled out the heart, the boiled heart. Like,
right? And then they still ate the hot dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fucking gross. Listen, that's like the worst part of this movie for me was the fact that they ate the
hot dogs. Yeah, I don't like hot dogs either.
Listen, I love a good glizzy. As we all know, I'm a glizzy champ, but
I used to have
no fucking way.
But the new one I did like a little bit more.
Forgot they put that on a fucking shirt.
I said used to. I actually, I got a little bigger, so it's shrunk.
It's still up there. It's still up there.
Oh, really? Shit. But the new one I did like a little bit better. Mostly for the full frontal nudity, because, you know, that's peak for scary movies. All right.
Longed full frontal movie.
Okay, now see, there was a point in it where I'm like, okay, this isn't like, you know,
starting to get a little too much.
Yeah, but like, because like I was watching it with Simon, and it was just like, and Alfie was here, so like we're just sitting here watching this, and I'm just like, oh, well, full frontal nudity, this one's gonna score more points with me, and then it continued on for the next 15 minutes, and I'm like, all right, but you know, it was also like you like Chuck said. There's more character development in this, and we understood, like, it made more sense for Tom to be the killer than it did for Axel to be the killer in the first one.
Yes. Yeah, because he actually was traumatized as an adult with Harry killing everybody in front of him.
Well, but not to mention that it was his fault that Harry...
Yeah, exactly. He fucked everything up.
So I gave that one, because I probably would watch this again. I mean, not anytime soon, but, like, you know, in a couple years, if somebody was like, oh, you know, I've never seen this, I'd be like, oh, we got to sit down and watch this. Enjoy the first 15 minutes, you know. I gave it a 5.13.
Would you argue that you would probably, I don't know, say you were at a holiday party and...
Doesn't work on this one.
Specifically for a Valentine's Day party, if I was there, I would be like, we got to watch this movie for at least 15 minutes. So everybody else could first be like, oh, full frontal nudity, nice, and then be like, oh, wow, this is getting uncomfortable. All right.
Oh, it gets excessively uncomfortable, especially when you're at the gym and you're trying to...
Chuck, if you were at the gym running on a treadmill, would you watch this movie again?
that's actually the new... That's the new one. Okay. I think I did this wrong. Divided by three.
By three, not two.
No, I know. Wait.
Don't pull me. Divided by four or one.
I put an extra five in for Nerzen. So look, for me, this was this is obnoxious having to do this on here. Anyway, sorry. 5.3.
I know my world.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, just so you all know that the national drinking age minimum was 1984. And it was because of fucking Reagan. So what else is goddamn new?
Really?
The year that I was fucking born. Way to go, Reagan. Thanks.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's been doing great things for America for the last 50 fucking years. Thanks, dude.
Oh, I wonder where he's buried at.
Yeah, I'm going to piss on his grave.
It actually is kind of wild that they must be like just super protected, because what is stopping people from just regularly pissing on him? Well, you know what I mean? Like, fuck
it. I'm sure it's like a national park or something that is regularly monitored by police. And...
So you have to piss in a bottle and then go pour it on him. Then it looks respectful, right? Then you're like, yeah, pour one out for the homies, except it's piss, and you know.
I might as well. I mean, why not? I do remember, for whatever reason, it always pops in my brain that the head of the Satanic Temple put his nuts on the gravestone of the leader of the Westboro Baptist Church's mom's tombstone. If you've never seen the documentary Hail Satan ? I highly recommend watching it, because it opens with him dragging a sack across her gravestone. It's
nice.
See, that sounds kind of rough. Gravestones are not smooth things. Like,
yeah, it depends on how much money they had for them. Yeah. Gravestone.
Not how much money you had to polish it out. But
right, look, so yeah, Chuck, what you got for the score?
Yeah, so my score, the first one, listen, I'm going to give it a 4.32. I'm never going to watch it again. I'm glad I got it done. I think the mining outfit is interesting. It does genuinely look creepy, so I think that's fine. And then the remake, I have a nostalgia for the remake. It was the first 3D movie. It's got boobs. It's pretty rad. It's fine. 5.51 for a grand total score, the first movie being a 4.23 average of, or the like average score from IMDb was a 6.2.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Like,
I think it's nostalgia. I think a lot of people, like, we kind of, I mean, we're seeing this in all the scores anyway, that like people just like the first one because it was the first one, and mm-hmm. everybody always hates a remake. Yeah. And that makes our remake version a 5.42, which is on par with the 2009 IMDb score of a 5.4. So overall, I definitely liked the remake better. I think it mm-hmm. is a more cohesive story and stuff. Agreed. Now the question becomes, Ron, we of course ask this question, Henry Warden's or the murder or the killer disguise in each movie, are they a bad person? Or were they justified?
So it would be Axel in the first one and Tom in the second one.
Correct.
Because Harry Warden was justified both times.
Both times. He's Harry justified. Warden's justified. So yeah, Axel sometimes in the first you just gotta eat a leg the long way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you just gotta fucking send it.
So both Axel and Tom are terrible people. And the fact that, first off, Axel, like, having seen his dad die right before his eyes, instead, like, you, why would you kill other people and put them through that? Why would that? He's a bad person. He is definitely not justified. Tom in the newer one, also not justified. The reason why you had a mental breakdown was because you killed a person or a bunch of people, made one dude go mental, and then he killed a whole bunch of people that you were friends with or, you know, whatever. That was all your fault too, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you were an arrogant little piece of shit. So no, neither one of them was justified. Fuck those guys.
Bad people.
Yeah,
Joe?
I agree on both counts. Axel, he had no reason to kill any of his friends. He had reason to kill the adults because they weren't paying attention when the party happened, which systematically made Harry become the killer. But yeah, no, he didn't need to kill his friends. He is not justified. Tom, again, not justified. He started killing, like, why'd he kill the trucker? Just because he was there. Why did he kill the motel owner?
Whoa. She got the in the trucker, way. Well, hold on. The trucker deserved to die.
Deserved to die because he non-consensually
filmed the sex stuff.
Yes, but why did Tom kill him? What did the trucker do to Tom? What did the
Batman so beat up anybody?
So here's the thing, okay?
He likes to beat up poor people.
The trucker deserved it because he did do something mean to Tom's friend. However, Tom's friend did not deserve it because she was just there.
But why? What about the motel owner?
Maybe she gave him a bad deal on the room. No, there's no justification for it.
Gave him a room right next to the
dude. You know that room was half off. Like,
oh no, he killed the hotel front desk person because of you got to get rid of the DEI hires. You know what I mean? So that's
oh, he's Republican.
Yeah. That's actually what this movie is about. Okay.
Oh, so he was ahead of his time. What you saying?
Yeah.
Then why did he kill the black sheriff? That's the other thing. But he didn't kill him. That's what I'm saying. He didn't kill the black sheriff.
Oh, that's true. Well, you do have to show some level of diversity. You know what I mean? Because he was middle management. He wasn't the head sheriff. He was deputy sheriff.
Yeah, that's fair.
So you do have to have your token hire in there who is, you know, qualified to do the job. Okay. So
the other thing that
classic Republican
really got me with this sequel is how did Tom know where Harry was buried? Because he didn't know that until after they went there with the group and, oh, body's gone. No, he apparently figured it out beforehand. Like, if he had found that out before he went to the mental institute and then he took the next 7 years planning this because he's crazy, sure, justified. Not justified. Just, like, it makes sense why he would do all this. But that's another plot point in that movie. Again,
another plot point is there's no way they would have left that mining gear on Harry's body when they buried him, because that shit is expensive and they wouldn't have wanted to put that cost on themselves because the mine was their whole, like, town thing.
But it was the sheriff, it was the dad, Axel's dad, and somebody else. Like,
wasn't it also Tom's dad?
I don't think it was Tom's dad. Because it was the sheriff. Oh, the foreman.
Bill, oh, that's right. Ben.
Yeah, Ben. Ben.
The dude from Roadhouse.
Oh, he's from Roadhouse? I know he's from a shit ton of movies. He's got that face and I just want to punch. Because he, like, he's always has smug. That like, wicked, yeah, the smug smile. Uh-huh. That's what he's from. He's from Newsies. Okay.
Anyway. Yeah!
Wow. Well, I was actually a Newsies reference today, but okay.
All right, Chuck, what about you?
No, for me, they're both justified, but only when it comes to killing people in the mines, because they weren't wearing their proper PPE when they were in the mine.
That's
so
fair.
They did deserve to die, as we all know. Outside of that, no, they're both terrible people who should never be allowed to talk to women. But in the mine, they 100% were justified in killing anybody that was in there. Because they were going to die anyway. They weren't wearing the proper PPE.
Correct. Can I also say, yeah, every time that in both these movies, anytime they said in the mine, my head went in the mines from Snow White.
4 million diamonds shy.
Yeah. Because I'm a Disney file. So.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we know you anyway. Fuck Disney movies.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway.
I watched it.
How else do you think he rewinds those VHS tapes, buddy?
Oh, yeah. My dick is weird looking. It's much.
That is some stamina. All right, folks.
Shit. Anyway,
there you have it. Next month.
Yeah, we're for watch.
Hey, now that we're not doing Patreon, where can we find everybody?
Yeah, whatever. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, whatever. That's hey, for the main go stuff. Check the show notes. Go support our T Public, because it's the only way we directly get money. Because now we give our art away for free.
Yep.
So go support us there if you want to check us out. Everything else is linked in the show notes. Comic book rundown. Yeah. Next month, we are doing... wow, we're cruising through this stuff, huh?
We are.
We're going to do one. This is for Joe. Because I feel like it's Joe's birthday probably by the time it comes out or somewhere around
it
there.
It will be, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. We are going to do the 1978 release of Dawn of the Dead and the 2004 remake by Joe's best friend and favorite human being on the planet, Zack Snyder, Dawn of the Dead 2004. I love the remake. It's probably one of two Zack Snyder movies that I actually like.
I didn't realize it was a Zack Snyder movie. I never saw his full cut of it.
Actually, it is weird that there is no director's cut of that movie.
I'm not going to put out that he wanted to do one and still have it. That's the point.
Of course he did.
Because he's watching this and listening to this show, Zack Snyder, we don't mean any offense by this. This is mostly us beefing on Joey, not on you. So.
No, I mean it. I want you to take this personal, Zack Snyder, okay?
Come on here and argue. Hey, you know what? Come and tell us what you liked better, Zach. Come on to the show.
Ooh,
on this episode of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. And then tell me how Rebel Moon was good. We are doing the Dawn of the Dead.
That's fair. Okay. In Chuck's defense, that's fair.
I don't think I've ever seen the original Dawn of the Dead.
I don't think I have either.
I want to say I did, but I remember thinking, oh, they're slow-moving zombies. I don't care anymore.
Sure.
But maybe I don't know. Anyway, but I'm in the mood to watch some zombie movies. I've been playing Dead Rising, the remastered version, which is phenomenal, and I really love that game. So I'm in a zombie mood. So we're gonna do Dawn of the Dead. So check it out next month. Watch with us. Until next time, y'all just got your ass franchised. Is that right? Is that the sign off for this?
I don't think we ever actually fully.
I think that you asked that in the episode that I listened to, so I'm assuming you're just going to go with it.
That was episode one.
I think we were supposed to say you just got your Scooby-Doo franchised. I think that was like what we finally left off on in the last episode.
Okay.
Is that we had to work a Scooby-Doo franchised in there, so you just got your Scooby-Doo franchised.